Turn with me back to Psalm 65. Psalm 65. Let's read the last three verses. Psalm 65, verse 11. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness. They drop upon the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys also are covered over with corn. They shout for joy. They also sing. The little hills, the pastures, the valleys, they shout for joy. They also sing. Those three verses, I read those three verses, and they made me think of so many wonderful things in this scripture right here. One of them is in Isaiah 55. Turn with me over to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, verse 8 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." Aren't we so glad for that? I will not deal with you like you would deal with somebody else. Verse 9, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper." I'd never noticed that before. I always quote, "It'll accomplish whatever he sent it to do." But I read this and I saw, "It shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds you so much dread," don't you hate seeing those clouds coming? "The clouds you so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head." Listen to all the shalls that the Lord gave us right there. He said, "As the rain comes down," verse 11, "so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it, for you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing. All the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off." God shall send his goodness. and everything shall sing his praises for it. Everything. Charles Spurgeon said, God's goodness does not only fall on man, not only on man, but on every remote location of the earth. He said, in places where man never dwelled, the birds and the animals of the forest rejoice as they drink from the pools newly filled from heaven. They're God's goodness, his goodness. We don't even know about his goodness. The birds are thanking God for water. Absolute goodness. One of these days, without the hindrance of sin, we're going to witness all of creation singing praises unto him. All of creation singing praises unto him. He said right here, the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing. That's what he said. The mountains and the hills. We're going to hear the song of the mountain. I thought about Bays Mountain. That little hill. We're going to hear it sing out to God. What a creator. What a creator. One of these days, without the hindrance of sin, we are going to watch the trees clap their hands. Right now, all we see is the wind blowing everything around. That's what we see. Well, the wind's coming through. One of these days, without the hindrance of sin, we're going to hear the applause. Everything is going to sing praises to him for his goodness. The trees are going to say, thank you for making me to grow. All his goodness. There is no doubt in my mind. None. No doubt. When our Lord triumphantly rode into Jerusalem, he was going to give his life a ransom for sin. And he's riding into Jerusalem, and all the people are crying, Hosanna to God in the highest. Hosanna means, oh, save. And they're all throwing their coats in the way, and they're throwing palm branches in the way, crying, oh, save us. Go save us. When the Pharisees came to him, they said, shut them up. We're tired of hearing this. Shut them up. There's no doubt in my mind, none, that our Lord was speaking literally when he said, if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. If I shut them up, the rocks would start singing praises to God right now. No doubt in my mind. He's speaking literally. Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Our text says, the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys also are covered over with corn. They shout for joy. They also sing. Back in the text, Psalm 65, verse 11 says, thou crownest the year with thy goodness. Our Lord has sent us nothing but good since the day we were born. Nothing but good since the day we were born. That's not true. Yes, it is. That's our first response. Our Lord has sent us nothing but good since the day we were born. I can think of a few things. No, I can't. Every day, every month, every year, Romans 8:28 does not say, and we know that 75% of all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. It does not say, and we know that 99% of all things work together for good. It says all things. All. If we could see it, we would cry out with praise. We're a creation. We're no different than a tree outside of Christ. We're just God's creation. We cry out with praise. Our Lord has crowned 2015 with his goodness. He has crowned this year with his goodness. He crowned every year before with his goodness. And he will crown every year after with his goodness. And I'll show you why. Right here in Psalm 65, verse 11 says, "Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness." Thy paths, as he walks, he drops fatness. You know what that word means? Oh, when I saw this, I thought, I can't wait to tell everybody this. You know what the word fatness means? It means ashes from the sacrifice. Everywhere he goes, he leaves a trail. He leaves ashes from the sacrifice. There is nothing outside of Christ that's good, is there? Nothing. He is the reason for the goodness. He is the goodness. He's the goodness. He has crowned the year with Christ. We're leaving the year right now. Last message of the year. His paths drop ashes from the sacrifice. Fatness. We are so blessed. I mean, we're just so blessed. I can't describe to us how blessed we are. I just can't say. Oh, but we have so long to go. Yeah, but look what's waiting. And he said he'd never leave us along the way. He said, when you walk through the fire, I'll be with you. You walk through the water. Walk through the water, I'll be with you. The fire, you won't be burned. We're so blessed, and it's because of his sacrifice. Through his sacrifice. We get Christ because of his sacrifice. We are ending this year with Christ. With Christ. And we are starting a brand spanking new year with Christ. That's how we're starting the year. That's goodness. That is such goodness. We are ending the year dwelling on his sacrifice. And we are starting a brand new year dwelling on his sacrifice. And that's goodness. That he would make that come into here, come into here. Such goodness. We are leaving a year with everything we need. And we are entering a brand spanking new year with everything we need. Every single thing we need. That's goodness. Jesus Christ is made to be all I need. All I need. Christ is all I need. Thy paths drop fatness. That line reminded me of Ruth. Turn with me over to Ruth. Just after Judges. Ruth chapter 2. Ruth and Naomi, they've come back from the land of sin, Moab. And they've come back in bitterness, ruin, absolutely ruin. Everything spent. They have nothing. They are nothing. but beggars. That's all they are. Verse 1, Ruth 2, verse 1 says, "And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, Go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. Boaz showed up on his field, and he asked his reapers, Who is that? Who is that right there? They said, She came back ruined with Naomi. Verse 7, And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? Why would you do this for me? Why would you do this for me? I'm nothing but a ruined stranger. Verse 14, And Boaz said unto her, At mealtime, come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn. And she did eat, and was sufficed, and left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, Let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. When she took that home, Naomi saw it, and she said, Where did you get all that? Where in the world did you get all that? She said, I gleaned it in a field belonging to a man named Boaz. Naomi said, My daughter, you have fallen into the field of the only man who has the right to redeem us. Stay right there. Don't move. Don't go anywhere. Just stay right there. You found mercy. You found grace. You found handfuls of purpose. And I'm going to tell you this, so have we. So have we. We have fallen into the field of the only man who has the right to redeem us. And everywhere he walks, as he leads us in his path, everywhere he walks, as we follow him, he is dropping fatness, ashes from the sacrifice. Back in our text in Psalm 65, verse 11 says, Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness. Mercy. Mercy. You know what you find at the foot of the cross, at the The sacrifice of the cross? Mercy. David said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I'm going to back up. He said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely. Not maybe. Surely. Verse 11 says, thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness. They drop upon the pastures of the wilderness. Wilderness means desert. It means barren land. That's us. Goodness and fatness are going to drop on the pastures of the wilderness. That's a wonderful promise right there. That is a wonderful promise. Turn with me to Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43, verse 18 says, remember ye not the former things. From this day forward, it's in the past, it's in the past. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beast of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. I'm going to make a way in the desert. And I'm going to flood it with rivers. Look at Isaiah 51. Isaiah 51 verse 1 says, hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. I love that. He's saying, turn around. Look at the hole you came out of. You see that right there? Look unto Abraham, your father, and unto Sarah that bare you, for I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. And he will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. I'm going to make the waste places sing. That's what he's saying. I'm going to make it all sing. It's all going to sing. The little hills, they're going to rejoice on every side. Back in Psalm 65... Verse 13 says, the pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys also are covered over with corn. They shout for joy, they also sing. The pastures, the waste places, the barren land, the land that God chose to give his goodness and give his fatness to. The pastures are now clothed with flocks. And the valleys, they're covered over with corn. Our God has chosen to save a multitude, a great, great multitude of sheep. And there's a few of us here, and we know of a few scattered around. But real soon, once we're without this hindrance of sin, once we're truly praising God with every fiber of our being, we're going to see that the pasture is absolutely covered with sheep. I mean, it's covered with sheep, full of sheep, a number no man can number, full of people you love like you've never loved before, people who love you, everybody loving Christ. You talk about worship. Every one of them has more to feed on than his little heart could desire. Every sheep. We feed on Christ. And truly, from this word, truly, our cup runneth over. It really runs over. The barren pastures are now clothed with flocks. And the valleys are covered with corn. Because of that, God's people rejoice. And we're going to rejoice forever. We'll never stop rejoicing. Verse 13 says, they shout for joy. They also sing. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing a song of thanksgiving. A song of praise. And the reason is because our Lord has crowned the year with his goodness. And his paths drop fatness. We're so grateful for that, aren't we? We're so grateful for that. Here's a closing verse of scripture. All right? Read this and close. Turn to Isaiah 44. What a verse this is. May the Lord let us enter into this. Isaiah 44, verse 23. Sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord hath done it. Shout, ye lower parts of the earth. Break forth into singing, ye mountains. O forest, and every tree therein, for the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and glorified himself in Israel. Boy, that's reason to sing, isn't it? Sing. I know we don't normally close Wednesday night with a song, but we're going to tonight. Let's all stand together.